They taught us the names of ships. Those were the first lessons of kindergarten history. The Mayflower, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. Before we could even spell the name of our country, we knew that it began with ships full of people. The story of America began in the hearts and minds of people who hadn't even laid eyes on the land they would call home. It began in their hopes for prosperity, their prayers for religious freedom. America is a land born of ideals. It traces its lineage not to one bloodline, one land, one language, or faith, but to the ideas that forged it. From Enlightenment philosophy, we took a government's responsibility to the people it rules. From the Magna Carta, the Great Charter of British history, whose site of creation is now dominated by American monuments, we took rights, written out and guaranteed to citizens. From the Greeks, we took the blueprint of democracy. From these and the hopes of immigrants who crossed an ocean seeking opportunity and freedom, our founding fathers constructed the government that serves us to this day. But is it truly the same? This question brings us to one final ship, another gift from ancient Greece, the ship of Theseus. The story goes that in the space of a single voyage, all the planks of the ship were replaced, one by one. Does the ship remain the same? Philosophers have asked for centuries. Is it still the same ship, even if nothing of the original remains? Is it still the same country, with the people who built it so many generations gone? Is this the country our founders envisioned? When the Constitutional Convention began in the spring of 1787, the men who gathered there had already witnessed firsthand the failings of two forms of government, the British parliamentary monarchy and their own Articles of Confederation. They came prepared to debate a vast array of topics, large and small, that would shape the path of their young country. But at the forefront of their minds must have been this: how do you build a government that will last? Because the founding fathers, like ships full of immigrants before and after them, wanted not only a better life, prosperity, and freedom for themselves, but also for their children. They were the fathers of our democracy, yes, but also fathers themselves. Thomas Jefferson wrote that laws and institutions must go hand in hand with the progress of the human mind. We might as well require a man to wear still the coat which fitted him when a boy, as a civilized society to remain ever under the regimen of their barbarous ancestors. So, on top of their steady foundation, their careful checks and balances, the founding fathers built a government that could change, that could grow with their nation and their children. They built it with legislative bodies that could create new laws. They demonstrated it by adding a Bill of Rights. They created it, an adaptive country that could withstand a silent, bloodless revolution every 4 years. The Constitution of the United States of America, as any fourth grader can tell you, begins like this: "We the people, in order to form a more perfect union." More perfect, they wrote, not perfect. This country was built to change. When those words were put to paper, "we the people" meant 6%. The 6% who were landowning white men. To form a more perfect union, the 14th Amendment was passed in 1868, and "we the people" came to mean all men. To form a more perfect union, the 19th Amendment was passed in 1920, and "we the people" came to include women. To form a more perfect union, the Civil Rights Act, the 24th Amendment, and the Voting Rights Act were passed to protect the now expanded right to vote and all the people it gave a voice to. Today, almost 80% of the U.S. population is eligible to vote, and our union is far more perfect for it. But what about that last 20%? Who is left? The children. Your children. Because you, just as the founding fathers and ships full of immigrants before you, are tasked with protecting the future. Because the children, not the long-dead giants of our history, will be the ones to judge your work once it is done. But how do you tell them? How do you tell us of this beautiful legacy we will inherit? That this country, carefully built and lovingly maintained, has withstood the storm of centuries? That one day it will be our responsibility to form a more perfect union, just as the founding fathers, our immigrant ancestors, and you intended? You start with the names of ships.